Bok Choy by Paul Mason. Illustrations by Ant Sang. Otago, 1865. Jacob is helping his mother when Ah Sum calls by. Ah Sum hauls his sacks through the town, selling his vegetables door to door. The old man bows his head and lowers his pole.
They look good.
I don't know how you can eat that muck.
Mrs. Bishop talks as if Ah Sum isn't there. Her son William beats their carpet.
It's called bok choy, Mrs. Bishop. Thank you, Ah Sum.
William sneers at Ah Sum.
Chinaman!
I don't like eating those Chinese cabbages either.
William just laughs and thumps the carpet. Jacob knows he'll get more of the same at school.
Why did he have to stop by right at that moment?
Jacob hears William sniggering and has the sudden urge to go fishing. He needs to get away. It only takes a moment for the river to steal Jacob. A stumble as he casts out. A worn-out boot on the slippery rock, and he is up to his waist in the unkind water. The current closes in on him, swirling and tugging. He is swiftly dragged into the middle where turquoise turns to deep blue. Jacob flails his arms. He tries to stand. Finally, he spins round on his back and faces downriver, the cold squeezing his lungs. Dark shapes loom close, rocks. If he can only get to them! Jacob tries to swim. But the rocks come too soon, he's got it wrong, and his body slams against a wall of stone. Jacob wakes in a darkened hut. In the gloom, he sees a man hunched over, tending a fire that is more smoke than flame. Jacob tries to sit up. He groans. Jacob recognizes him. Ah Sum.
Rest. Rest.
My mother?
Mother comes soon.
Ah Sum turns and presses him down, drawing the covers back up to his neck. Ah Sum busies himself over the fire, then gives Jacob a mug of something hot to drink, supporting the boy's head with his hand. Jacob takes little sips, and warmth floods his chest.
Walking home. I see you in water, on rocks, you lucky boy.
I slipped.
Jacob notices that Ah Sum's trousers are soaked through.
Thank you.
Jacob looks around. He has never been to the Chinese village before. It isn't the sort of place you would want to visit, he can hear Mrs. Bishop say. Best they keep to themselves. Ah Sum offers Jacob a dish with some rice, but Jacob shakes his head. Ah Sum begins to eat.
What is your name?
Jacob. Jacob Smith.
Jacob Smith? Your mother comes soon. Ali, go to bring.
Jacob gazes at paintings near the bed. Ah Sum notices Jacob's gaze.
Ancestors. Family.
Jacob likes the tea. He is starting to feel better.
Where are they? Your family?
Family in Canton. Wife. Children, everybody. no come to New Gold Mountain.
Jacob feels his stomach twist. He was so angry with Ah Sum earlier. Mother arrives, ushered in by Ah Ling. Ah Sum struggles to his feet to greet her.
Jacob, are you all right?
Ah Sum rescued me.
How can I thank you? Can you walk? Let's get you home to bed. Come by the house tomorrow. Let me fix you up.
Ah Sum shakes his head.
No problem. No money.
I insist.
Jacob and his mother walk back through the Chinese village. Jacob rubs the bruise on his head. His clothes are damp and cold. Outside their cottage, they are stopped by Mrs. Bishop.
Well, well, look what the cat dragged in.
He fell in the river, the daft boy. He was rescued by Ah Sum, the vegetable man, would you believe?
Was he indeed? Just you wait. That Chinaman will be after something.
Whatever do you mean?
He'd probably sell his own mother for a halfpenny, given the chance.
Jacob thinks about the paintings in Ah Sum's hut. He thinks about the offerings to the ancestors. The lonely old man marooned in New Gold Mountain, a lifetime away from the family that he dreams of seeing again.
You've got that wrong, Mrs. Bishop.
I hope you're not going to be cooking that foul cabbage again tonight.
It's called bok choy.
Chinese gold miners in New Zealand. In the 1860s, miners from China came to New Zealand to mine for gold. These miners hoped to make a fortune and then return home to their families. Although they were encouraged to come to New Zealand, not everyone was welcoming. The Chinese miners looked different and spoke their own language and usually ended up living in their own villages. As well as mining, some ran shops or sold goods from door to door. While a few of the Chinese miners did strike it rich, most struggled to make a living. Some of them never saw their families again.